Good morning. Blessed Easter morning. This is Pastor Jerry Southerton from Zion Lutheran Church in Hancock, and I am joining you today for this Word of Life message. Let us begin in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit with a scripture reading from Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, chapter 15, verses 19 through 26. Reading in Jesus' name. If in Christ we have hope in this life only, we are of all people most to be pitied. But if in fact Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For as by man came death, by man come also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ shall all be made alive. But each in his own order, Christ the firstfruits, then at his coming those who belong to Christ. Then comes the end, when he delivers the kingdom to God the Father after destroying every rule and every authority and every power. For he must reign until he has put all enemies under his feet, and the last enemy to be destroyed is death. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, as we come together and we celebrate this morning your Easter, the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we thank you. That indeed, Father, you have destroyed death. That we can look forward to resurrection in your Son, Jesus Christ. And Father, that you have forgiven us by his death and raised us to righteousness by his resurrection. We ask, Father, that you would be with the proclamation of your word this morning. That it would go forth with truth and with power. And that it would be you speaking through my lips. That, Father, you would also open hearts and minds of all those who are listening, and that you would draw them to your Son. Father, we thank you that you continue to draw men to yourself through your word and through the proclamation of your word. We ask indeed that you would be wherever your word is proclaimed this morning, that it would go forth with truth and with power. That you would bless the speakers and the churches, that, Father, you would work in and through your people, the body of your Son, Jesus Christ, to share the message of Easter in the glorious resurrection of your Son. We ask that you would be with all those who are mourning the loss of loved ones, and that, Father, you would give them the hope of the resurrection by the power of your Spirit. We also ask that you would be with those who are sick and hurting, that you would be with their caregivers, and that you would be their hands, that you would lead and guide them and give them wisdom to raise people to full health. We also ask, Father, that you would be with our country, our leaders, local, state, national. Indeed, that you would bless them, and that, Father, your will would be done. We also ask that you would be with our servicemen, especially during this holiday time, that, Father, you would comfort them and keep them and bless them with the power of your resurrection and your protection, that you, Father, would give them peace along with their families. And most of all, Father, we pray that you would bring peace for this country, that they would be able to come home. Father, we thank you for all that you continue to do. We thank you even, Father, that your Son has taught us how to pray. Now hear us as we pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our text for meditation this morning comes from the Gospel of John, chapter 20, verses 1 through 20. Reading again in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb early, while it was still dark, and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciples, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him. So Peter went out with the other disciple, and they were going toward the tomb. Both of them were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. And stooping to look in, he saw the linen cloths were lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came, following him, and went into the tomb. And he saw the linen cloths lying there, and the face cloths which had been on Jesus' head, not lying with the linen cloths, but folded in a place by itself. Then the other disciples who had reached the tomb first also went in, and he saw and believed. For as yet they did not understand the scripture that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to their homes. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb, and she wept. She stooped to look into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white sitting there where the body of Jesus had lain, one at the head, one at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." Having said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing, but she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." And she turned and said to him in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went and announced to his disciples, "I have seen the Lord," and that he said these things to her. On the evening of that day, the first day of the week, the doors being locked, for the disciples were freer of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Amen. Now, in the story of Jesus, this of course comes day and a half, you know, the 3 days, as it were, after Jesus had been crucified on the cross. The ladies had prepped him for burial. They had laid him in the tomb in a wrapping that was very tight. He would have been bound so he would not be able to move. And when Mary gets to the tomb, all she finds is the burial cloths. And they were strips of cloth that were wrapped tightly around the body. And she saw that the stone was away. And so she goes to see to the grave of her Lord. And it looks as if grave robbers have been there. Now on that first day of the week, Mary Magdalene came early to the tomb while it was still dark. And she saw the stone had been taken away from the tomb. Now we know the story for the most part. We understand that God had already risen Jesus from the dead. He had not allowed his son to remain in that state. But to Mary, when she gets to the tomb, there's desperation. She runs to the people that she knew would care the most. She runs, and she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciples, the one whom Jesus loved, which would be John, and said to him, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." So now that only have they lost Jesus in a way in death, now they've even lost his body. There's no way to go and to see him. There's no tomb to go to mourn. And Peter and John, of course, want to go find out what is going on. So Peter went out with the other disciple, and they were going towards the tomb. Both of them were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. So John gets there first. And stooping to look in, he saw the linen cloths lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came following him and went into the tomb. And he saw the linen cloths lying there, and the face cloths which had been on Jesus' head was not lying with the linens, but folded up and placed by themselves. And so they see that Jesus is not there. The body is gone, and the burial cloths have been taken off. But there's a reason for this. A reason that they don't really understand. That same Savior who was nailed to the cross, bled and died for the sin of the world, had no need of those cloths anymore. He had no need of burial cloth. He was risen. He was alive. And we see this, that they didn't really get this in verse 9. The other disciple who reached the tomb first also went in and saw and believed. For as yet they did not understand the Scripture that He must rise from the dead. And see, this is the big thing. And this really becomes the hard thing for modern man to understand. Dead men don't rise. Can I explain this? Can I argue it from scientific method or from some other way to make people believe it? No. To believe this is a revelation of God through the Holy Spirit by His Word and by the proclamation of that Word. Jesus Christ is alive indeed. But many people will go away just like the first James and John did. Destitute. No, it can't be. Even the Son, no one that's human can be raised from the dead. And see, this is the struggle that we have within Christianity and within ourselves even. I've done funerals this past week. None of them came out of the grave. This flesh indeed does die. But Jesus Christ was the new Adam, the perfect one, the one who would go to death, but could not remain in the power of death because He was perfect. The disciples went back to their homes, but Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. As she wept, she stooped and looked into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white sitting there at the body of Jesus had lain. Where the body of Jesus had lain. One at the head and one at the feet. Mary now looks in. Instead of an empty tomb, there are two angels, holy messengers from God. And they ask the question, Mary, why are you weeping? Why do you cry? For they knew that Jesus Christ had arose. But she still feels He's dead. And they have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid Him. Having said this, she turned around and saw Jesus, but she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking? Supposing Him to be the gardener, she said, Sir, if you have carried Him away, tell me where you have laid Him, and I will take Him away. Now this is just a very interesting conversation that's recorded by John. We have Mary there, and she's face to face with the risen Jesus Christ and does not recognize Him. Whether it be in her grief or in really the man made that He can't be there. He must just be the gardener. Because dead men don't raise. Dead means dead. But not for Jesus Christ. Why are you crying? Whom are you looking for? And that really is the question for us today. Whom are you looking for? Why are we listening to this message? Why are we here? Seeking. And it's very interesting because really when you deal with this whole thing, you start to understand that it is not something that you can come to on your own. It's not something that somebody can argue you into. Believing in the resurrection of Jesus Christ comes by His revelation and God's revelation of all on their own. Mary wants to go find a body. She's about to be revealed something much greater than a body. Jesus said to her, Mary. And this is the thing that we must understand. This is how Jesus Christ knows each and every one of us. He calls us by name. He knows us. While He was upon the cross, He took upon our sin. He knows upon all our sorrows. Yet He chose to go to that cross willingly, to sacrifice Himself for our sin, that we wouldn't have to remain in the power of death. And He's calling your name today. Why are you weeping? We are looking for our Lord. He is calling our names today to believe that He indeed is above the grave, is alive. Do not cling to me, for I have not ascended to the Father. But go to my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and to your Father, to my God and to your God. And this is one of the greatest promises that we have in Jesus Christ. God is not only the God of Jesus Christ, but our God, our Father. God calls Himself that to us, a Father. One who will not reject us, even in the midst of our rebellion and our sin. One who will never stop loving us, no matter what we've been caught in, no matter what where we may find ourselves in these circumstances, but is always calling us back to Him. Always calling us to change our minds, to repent and believe what He has done for us through His Son, Jesus Christ. Dying for our sins and raising us to new life in Him. And this is the promise of Easter, that we will no longer have to worry about the grave because we have been risen with Him. Him being the first fruits of the resurrection and us to follow. We heard it early in the scripture reading. For as by man came death, by man also comes the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, but also in Christ shall all be made alive. You see, our hope is not in this world. Our hope is not in science and medical things that will cure our illnesses. Everyone who has been cured at one point dies. And so there's something much greater than death. Jesus Christ has overcome sin, death, and the devil, and sends His servants to go and to proclaim this truth. And that's exactly what Mary did. She goes and tells the disciples. Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, I have seen the Lord. And that He and that he had said these things to her. And the disciples still didn't get it. And in fact, they locked themselves into the room. This is a group of men who had followed Jesus for 3 years, hearing what he taught, and yet they still didn't get it. They didn't really know who they were dealing with. And so, they lock themselves because they're afraid that they're next. They killed our leader. They killed Jesus. They're certainly going to kill us. We have to shut the door and hide in here. And you see, we too do this. We hide. We worry about the world outside and what they're going to do to us. We worry that somehow they're going to overcome us. They can't. And even if we're trying to hide, God will come through the door. And on the evening of that day, the first day of the week, the doors were being locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews. Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." Jesus doesn't come and say, "Why are you huddled here in the corner? Why are you so afraid?" He says, "Peace be unto you." And then, to just make sure that they understand, he shows them his wounds, the holes in his hands, the spear hole in his side, so there can be no mistaking, this is Jesus Christ in the flesh. He is risen from the dead. He has victory where evil men and Satan thought they had. On that Good Friday, evil thought they had won. They had hung the Son of God upon a cross, the King of the Jews, and killed him. But that cross was the power of God. The power of God unto salvation for men who believe that God indeed has died, shed his blood for the forgiveness of our sins. And this is true for all mankind. He asks us that we would believe it, that we would believe also in his resurrection, in his victory. Peace be with you. These same men who were huddled and scared in that room go on to change the face of the world. By this message, this simple message that you can't defend in worldly terms, but it really only comes by faith, a gift of God. Comes through the foolishness of the proclamation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That indeed he came to earth as the Son of God. That he ministered. And that men. And that he allowed himself that men would put him on a cross and he would shed his blood. And he would die. But then that he overcame death, not just for himself, but for all of mankind. And this is a message that changes the world. This is the message that changes men's hearts. This is a message that brings us to repentance, brings us to change our mind and realize that God is not against us, looking to strike us down, but that God has indeed forgiven us by the blood of his Son, Jesus Christ. And now he has raised us to a new life. one that is lived and hidden in the person of Jesus Christ, and that we cannot be overcome. We are victorious in Him. And this is the gospel that God is calling all of us to believe today. By the power of His Word and through His Holy Spirit, that you would understand and I would understand that He has indeed risen from the dead. That we would understand that we are victorious and we cannot be overcome by anything in this world. We are members of Christ's body, raised with Him, and are seated, even today, though we don't realize it, in the heavenly places. This is the message of Easter. In Jesus' name, amen.